Blog Talk Radio.
You guys hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can now.
Okay. Welcome, Heidi Hall, and also welcome, Tim Daniels. We appreciate you both being here today. Again, we're going to talk about an issue. Maybe we lost Tim, I think. Maybe we lost Tim. We're going to talk about a very important issue. It's a shocking, actually, report that came out from, I want to say it's Vice, and they're talking about 30%, up to 30% of the, 30% of the tests that were performed in this one clinic could be false, and they've had whistleblowers come out. I think former employees. I don't know if you call them whistleblowers, but they've come out and pointed out that there was a lot of the 30%, which is a lot when you're talking about taking people's children away, which unfortunately they do. We've covered CPS here quite a bit on this broadcast, as you know. And again, we're delighted to have Tim Daniels and Heidi Hall here. Tim certainly has a story that we've covered before about them spiking his urine. He caught it on camera. We did a show on that. But I want to thank both of you for being here today on Northwestern Brain News. Thanks so much.
Good to see you again, James.
Good to see you again, too, Tim.
Good to see you. You've got a little bit of a tropical background going there, eh, Tim? Is that wishful thinking?
Yeah, it's just a screenshot of where I'd love to be in 10 years.
I was going to say, it can't be like, I'm from Michigan, man. There's nowhere in Michigan looks like that, brother. If there is, I missed it. I didn't get a chance to see it while I was there. Okay, well, I want to thank both of you for coming on here. I think one of you has a microphone. Yeah, that sounds better. It was a little bit of an echo, but now I think it's better. Tim, I'll tell you what, Tim, we'll start with you because we've had you on the broadcast here before. Just recap your story, if you can, briefly, if I remember correctly, and it's been several years since we've had the broadcast, but if I remember correctly, the worker, you did a urine test and you kind of caught a camera angle of them spiking a look-like, I think it was, I don't know if it was amphetamines or whatever, in your urine trying to set you up so they could ultimately take your children, which is what CPS does. They traffic children, they launder money. That's their main staple, and that's why they continue to grow and grow and have billions of dollars of unaccounted for money. Anyway, that's another story altogether. Tim, give us a little bit of background on yourself, and then Heidi will move over to you right after. Go right ahead.
I'm a career tow truck operator, having to do Department of Transportation physicals, yearly and quarterly drug tests. I was targeted by Child Protective Services in Traverse City, Michigan. I found out at a later time that weeks prior to my case even opening up, they were sitting outside my residence watching my children play in our yard. It seems very sick to me. That would be classified for anybody other than a state employee as pedophilia, I do believe.
Certainly as a predator, that's for sure.
So it ended up that I received a phone call on August 15th, 2019 at about 9 o'clock in the morning. I was out on a camping trip with my kids. I had one day off and it was a CPS worker telling me that if I didn't come do a drug test for him, that state police would come to my campsite, arrest me, and take my children into protective custody. This went on for 5-6 hours, and by like 2:30, I knew I was like maybe two hours away from where they wanted me to come do the drug test at the local Department of Health and Human Services office. And so I told them, I was like, okay, I'll come do your dumb drug test. I can't wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow's, you know, obviously the next business day. And so when I went down there and it wasn't the person that was threatening me for 6 hours on the phone, I took out my camera and recorded a video of them. During this video, it was an oral drug screen. So it was an oral swab that went in your mouth to collect saliva. I took video and produced still photos from the video of, 6 Child Protective Services workers out of Traverse City, Michigan, placing a white crystally substance into my drug test. And, you know, my exposure was the biggest thing. Did I lose you?
No, I'm with you. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, there we go. Yep, I got you.
Yeah.
And so I started doing some public exposure and public awareness, and, you know, I fought them through the case. They went as far as labeling my son the N-word in court in a family hearing where the judge thought that was kind of funny and gave a half smirk and no reprimand. Since then, I'm told that numerous of the suspects involved in my case were either removed, transferred, or terminated, or quit. Through that, I met Heidi Hall, who has been my right hand. She's been a force to be reckoned with for sure. You know, these people sent my children. They took my children on this drug test that I caught them putting foreign substance into, which I suspect was methamphetamine. The test for that drug test tested positive for methamphetamine. That was the only drug test that I ever failed. I did outside testing at Munson Medical Center, the hospital here, and a direction testing the local, one of the local drug test enforcement labs. That's an actual lab, a licensed credited lab. And all of those tests came back completely negative for any substances, except for the one that tested with Child Protective Services.
Hey, Tim, let me ask you a question. Tim, do you remember when I was working with the Cindy Abson case many years, two, three years ago? She had her son that was taken. She was from Colorado. I did many, many interviews with her, right?
Yes, she
did, she went in on a Monday. Pardon me. They wanted her to do a drug test. She went in on a Monday, and she did the drug test at their at the CPS, at the behest of the CPS. She goes in on Tuesday and gets – no, I'm sorry. I take it back. Later on this afternoon, she makes another appointment, and she pays for it out of her own pocket, okay?
Right.
The CPS test comes back positive. Her test comes back negative, and she went with the same clinic and the same tests and everything, and theirs came back positive. Does that surprise you, Tim? And Heidi, then we'll go to you next, Heidi. Thanks for being here. Tim, does that surprise you? And then we'll go right over to Heidi and have her give us a little bit of background on herself.
It does not, actually, because I've seen it firsthand where substances were placed and or intentional mislabeling or hey, you know, we don't like this person, so we're going to dig at him and set him up. That doesn't surprise me a bit.
Not at all. Heidi, thanks for joining us here. Sorry it took me so long to get over to you. We do appreciate the efforts. I know that we've communicated in the past, and it's been probably a while since we've just communicated recently. As soon as Tim said Heidi Hall, I said, you know, that name sounds familiar. I looked back on my Facebook page, and sure enough, we'd been chatting previously. Thanks so much for joining us here today on the broadcast. Heidi, if you can, just give us a little bit of a background on yourself and what brought you to the situation where you're here today with us on the broadcast going against these scoundrels that are taking children away and joining forces with Tim Daniels there. Again, Heidi, thanks for being here.
Well, I don't know if you remember. I was on your show a few years ago talking about my own case out of Michigan where Child Protective Services came to Illinois and picked up my children from my Illinois children and took them back to Michigan without the proper paperwork and did a bunch of shady stuff so they could get my kids into their care to find out that they didn't need my kids in their care, that my kids were just fine without them, and that they were doing more harm to my family.
I remember that now. I do remember that now, Heidi. I apologize for that. You know, I interviewed probably close to, I think, 150 parents maybe over that period of time, maybe more. And it's so difficult to keep track because, you know, I have to be honest with you. Some of these stories are so tragic and they're just so devastating that you don't want to remember them. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Some of these things I wish I knew I could forget. I'm sure, Tim, you probably the same. Some of these, Heidi, probably you as well. I mean, some of the things that I know I wish I could forget, but I obviously can't.
And honestly, the truth of it is, James,
Go
ahead, Heidi.
I'm going to say there's just some things you can't unsee.
That's right.
You know,
that's
the
right.
Truth of it is the outcome of all of this corruption and the trafficking of children and the collection of money for the Social Security numbers and the whole nine yards, you know, the scheme of things, you know, it all ends in tragedy. Somebody's going to die, you know. I hear it on a regular basis of parents that, you know, end their life because of the repercussions of Child Protective Services.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, there's some pivotal information that goes into the report that the CPS worker uses when before they come and think that they're justified in taking your children, which they're not. You know, in law, it states that you can only control what you own, what you have ownership over. I can't tell the neighbor what to put in his lawn because, you know, I don't own his lawn. I don't own his home. You can only control what you own. So ultimately, what they're saying, what the state's saying, when they come and take your children from you, what they're saying is they own your children, that they have ownership and they're allowed to take them because that's the only thing else, other thing that makes sense. And if that's the case, I want you to show me the proof of your ownership. Please produce that. I think that the CPS, they're getting exposed hardcore, man. I mean, in a lot of different venues, there's a couple of big movies coming out, a couple of big documentaries coming out. I think that they're going to be in some big trouble once the general population realizes that they're the largest child trafficking and money laundering system in the entire United States. I got a feeling that there's going to be a lot of tears shed because there are going to be a lot of people are going to be going to jail. Any thoughts on any of that, Tim?
James, I found out that through Freedom of Information Act, that's a very powerful act. Accessing information from the courts and just about anything that's a municipality you can obtain through Freedom of Information, otherwise, unless it's deemed classified. But I found through the Freedom of Information Act that my children were valued at $400 per day to Department of Health and Human Services, and 25% of that plus all of the services at their value in billing to the state of Michigan was being cut to the judge. So any services plus the cost of $400 per day, 25% of that was going straight to the judges in the court.
And you know that what you just stated right there answers the question that so many parents have. Why do I have to go to anger management? There's no anger. There was no anger involved in my case. How come I have to go to drug rehab? There's no drugs involved in our case at all. Why do I have to go to parenting? You know, why do you have to go to all those classes? Because there's kickbacks on every one of those classes that goes back to the judges. I've done a couple of shows on this in the past. I mean, we had a show. I had to do a show of a person in California. It was a judge in California that was part owner of the placement agency that was just down the street from the courthouse that placed the children in the foster care. She was not only the judge that made the ruling, she sent them over to her foster care placement facility to send them out, and she made money on that. I mean, there's not a more gross example of a conflict of interest. I can't think of what is. Heidi, talk if you can about this 30% of the false test. I was going to say, that's a big, there's a couple of big items that they use when they take children and they do the home inspection, you know, and of course, if you've got, you know, Cheerios on the counter, they mark you down. And if it's laundry day and you got the clothes on the line outside drying, they'll mark you down for not having the sheets for your children. These people are demons. Heidi, if you can tell me a little bit about, the 30% of the drug tests that are in error, because that is another one of the key elements that these crooks use to take your children, is they say you're on drugs. Now, here's what I've always stated: is a problem with drugs, is that a mental health issue or is that a criminal issue? Because when it's convenient for them, When they can make money off it, they'll put you in the mental health program when they can make money from you. When they can't, they'll put you in the criminal portion where they can make money off you. What is it? Is a drug addiction, is that a mental health issue or is it a criminal issue? Because they treat it like a criminal issue sometimes, especially in family court, and other times they treat it like a health care issue. Have any thoughts on that, Heidi?
Well, I'm a libertarian, so I believe that it is a personal choice issue, and we should treat it as a societal issue and not criminalize victimless crime. But that's my personal political view on that. I'd like to step back a little bit and go to how I got involved with the drug testing.
Sure.
And how we uncovered the 30%. So Tim Daniels says, hey, I've got something for you. Check your email. And he sends me an email he received from his court-appointed attorney that is a redacted chain of emails between the court-appointed attorneys and the judges in Traverse County, Grand Traverse County, Michigan. And it reveals issues with three or four different drug tests. And it talks about 13 drug tests that were deemed inaccurate, and that a lab technician had just testified in court to it. That's one of the things that was cited in the Vice article, and it points to another case where a mother who was about ready to get her children back had struggled with substance abuse issues. And she goes and gets her random drug test done, which is the social work, swab in her mouth, and it comes back with high levels of methamphetamine. Her lawyer, for once, listened to her when she's saying, I didn't do this. This is not right. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to humor her. And he got the district attorney to send off the test. And they retested it in an outside lab, and it comes back. It's not even the mother's test that they have. It's a donor from a man. Couldn't be the mother's test. So the mobile tester, a.k.a. the social worker, admits that there was a labeling error with the test. And so the mother was able to beat that test. The mobile tester was terminated, according to this email chain. And so I took that email chain and I started digging. I started using the Freedom of Information Act, and I started doing FOIA requests and trying to figure out how I can prove this email chain to uncover this, because we've got judges saying, hello, I got proof here that a social worker falsified a test. Called it a labeling issue. So I keep digging. I keep posting online when I find things, and I catch the attention of a couple reporters. And one of them was Alice Hines, and she wrote the article for Vice News. So she and I corresponded for a few months and shared information. She came across my post after looking into Avra Health, related to a class action lawsuit out of Missouri that has been since dismissed. But when she saw my post, it intrigued her, and I told her how she could FOIA information request more information. So she FOIA requested from Department of Human Services in Michigan information about their drug testing program in Avra Health, and she was a former lab director or assistant director testifying in a family custody case in Michigan that 30% of the results that she was sending out were not accurate. They were either they were sending out results that said the drug test was negative and that the person had passed, or they were, when in fact they hadn't, or the opposite, they were reporting false positives.
James, I got the chills just thinking about the gravity of the amount of children that have been taken falsely as a result of false positives.
450,000 children a year, I believe, go through the foster care system. That number may be low, but even let's say it's 450,000. 30% of that's over 125,000 children are taken from their parents falsely every year based upon those numbers. Now, you know, here's the thing, right? So here's the problem that we face. The establishment class, the political class, they benefit from that money that comes in through health and human services and all that money that flows from the feds, because it's money that's laundered. It doesn't go towards the children and towards the programs that they're supposed to. A lot of that money is bilked off there. As a matter of fact, the one Linda Collins-Smith was about to reveal, I think, a 40-something million dollar payment that was improperly made by the CPS there, and I want to say Arkansas, and they killed her the week before she was getting ready to release that. I had the last person that talked to her live on the broadcast with me. So this is serious business. They mean business. There's billions and billions of dollars involved here, and that's why I don't believe that they have the will, the political will, the same reason that they don't have the political will to stop the voter fraud, because you know every other cycle they benefit from it. So, I mean, what it's got to be in the hands of the folks, right? I mean, Tim, I know you've got a strong grassroots group behind you or, you know, a movement of people that have been following you. And Heidi, I don't know if you may as well. I know I do now remember you were on my show. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at the documents. I found the files. I have all the old files of the parents that I've had on broadcast. And I just came across all your files right here from a couple of years ago, as a matter of fact. So what happens? I mean, there's no repercussions. There's no... Where's the hammer, right? Where's the law? Where is the sheriff? Is the sheriff useless? I mean, because that's a crime.
I'm looking at it like, where's going to be the person that stands up and forces accountability? Because in here, they've proven that they're not going to do anything. The prosecutors, we don't have enough evidence, even with picture evidence and video evidence of them placing drugs into a foreign substance into a drug test that costs a person their child. For it doesn't matter if it's one day or 10. Where's the accountability? You know what I mean? And that's where we're falling short. We're not pushing issue enough to place laws into effect that hold these people accountable and make it profitable for this for them. I mean, I don't understand how that works, but it seems like it's a money thing where, you know, they're making billions of dollars on selling children, but could be doing the same thing by holding accountability.
No, they're making billions of dollars. Folks, if you're a victim out there and you want to call into the broadcast and talk about what happened to you, or you have questions for Tim or Heidi, you can call at 563-999-3736. 563-999-3736. I don't know if we'll have many callers. I haven't had a live show on Northwest Liberty News at the phone for a long, long time. I'm going to be kicking that back off again, but if you want to call in, feel free to call in. So what happens next? I mean, the drug companies now, looking at the article, the drug companies comes out and they deny that that's true. But this guy was an ex-lab director, it said. That's not like he's not the janitor there. He's not the guy that's cleaning out the garbage, you know, and changing the CO2 in the pop machine in the cafeteria. I mean, this guy is the lab director. Have they went after this guy? Do you know? June 10th. So this article is just published about a month ago. Have they went after this guy and tried to sue him for defamation? Do you know anything about that?
I have spoken with the reporter. I do believe that they are going to be filing something there. I don't believe it's been filed against the former director, but they are saying that they're going to sue for defamation and that they're also going to go after the state of Michigan for breach of contract. Because after this came out, Michigan didn't do anything for a long time. And then we had the reporters doing FOIA requests. I was doing FOIA requests. And in March, right?
Heidi, I think we were all hammering them with FOIA requests at that point. There was probably a dozen of us, a few of us from United Parents for Children, and also you and your reporters and your team on your end.
So before they've released the FOIA request document, they sent out a document to all of the CPS workers in Michigan saying we are no longer using AverHealth for the next 90 days, and we will be sending out more guidance on who to test with locally. And they initially suspended their drug testing program for 90 days. That has been extended out till September for a six-month total period, and I'm hoping that that means they will terminate their contract. But AverHealth is threatening to sue the state of Michigan for doing the right thing when they were forced to reveal that, yes, they knew that.
I'll be the first to tell you that drug testing shouldn't be done in some office somewhere. It should be done in a laboratory where it belongs.
Right. What's a social worker doing giving a blood, giving tests anyway? I mean, you know, here's the thing that people don't understand: the ramifications of a negative test, even if it's done falsely. You understand that the system, folks, is corrupt. We've had, I can't tell you how many broadcasts. When I say that up to 25 people have their hands greased, their palms greased every time that they kidnap one of these children, not all the time it's that many people, but it is up to that many folks, up to and including the valet at the hospital. This is an organized crime ring. There's no other way to put it. It's an organized crime ring, and they've gotten really, really good at it, and they have utilized the fake family court system where there's no due process. It's not even a real court. Not a court of record. It's all a big money-making, child trafficking, money laundering fraud. Nothing gets me more upset on any broadcasts ever than when I start talking about these scoundrels. I mean, my blood pressure just elevates. Probably it's up 10 points probably already. And it kills me that we can't get people that have any backbone to stand up to these crooks. They're stealing kids here. I mean, literally stealing kids. And how many have they missed? You guys, have you seen the recent reports about how many children just go missing? They take them out of perfectly good homes. Well, they're not perfectly good, but they can't clean Cheerios off the counter, so I guess that's negative. So they take them out of good homes, not perfectly good, but good homes, and they put them in foster care, and half of them end up being in prison, and a percentage of them get lost, and no one knows where they're at. I mean, it's madness.
Just so you know, I Googled this just the other day, James, and Google says that the unaccounted for children in foster care in Michigan is upwards of 13,000.
13,000? Since when? This is not a year.
I just Googled this just the other day.
So this is a year? They don't lose that many in a year, do they? Come on, it can't be that many.
I mean, it's possible, James. I mean, it's...
I just read a report that broke down how many children are missing per year, per state. It says how many days missing that they've been missing. And yes, when he says 13,000, I am certain that, yes, that was very much in line with the numbers I remember for both Michigan and Illinois. How many days they're missing, how many times they've been missing, on average, how many times children are going missing. And some states, these children are missing for 100 days on average.
Well, here's the thing. In a lot of states, it's different in every state, but because this is coming back to me now from doing all this CPS work, some states, if they're gone for 2 months and they don't hear from them, they close it. Some of it's 3 months, some of it's 4 months. But there's a period of time when they're missing and they haven't heard from them. They'll just close the file, and God knows where these poor children end up. There's no investigation in looking into where they're at. How do they know they haven't been kidnapped? Go ahead.
The most vile program that I believe Child Protective Services has working for them is the intra-state department within Child Protective Services that I believe under certain circumstances, a lot of children I transferred from one Department of Human Services to another state's Department of Human Services, and therefore there's, you know, with that happening, there's no paper trail, there's no, like, if, let me just revisit my case, for instance, you know, we talked about this, how, why they would, instead of sending my children to a local foster care, they sent them 5.5 hours away downstate to Flint, Michigan, one of the most worst places you could ever be.
Well, that's probably because they didn't have a placement. I got sent the placement children, and they tried 29 placements, and they all either said no, didn't have placement, or didn't respond. But they tried 29 places for placements for my children. Still didn't find a placement for 2 days. My children went into somebody's house, but I have no clue. We can't find their names on any of the paperwork. Nothing.
And that's an important point that I want folks to understand. Let's wrap your mind around this just for 1 second. When they foster these children out, they don't reveal the location of the foster home to the parents because they don't want the parents showing up there and causing problems with the foster. And now you can find that information out, I believe, because Tim did with an exhaustive search, unless you got somebody in the inside. But generally speaking, a lot of the parents I've talked to, when they took their children and put them in foster care, they didn't know where they were. They weren't sure what foster care they were in. Some of them were able to guess, and some of them were able to find them on rare occasions and even talk to them outside the fence, like some sort of a prison situation. But for the most part, parents don't know. So you don't know where they send them. They could send them to China, for crying out loud. I mean, seriously, how do you know? Who knows where they're sending these children? I mean, the whole system is so incredibly broken. It's not broken for them. For them, it works fantastically. Broken for us, that's for sure.
I mean, I've even went to the sheriff, the most powerful man in the entire county, the most legally powerful man in the entire county. And what he told me was, we have to work with these people, and we all have children, too. We're not doing anything.
So we all have children, too, meaning they'll snatch our kids if we speak up. Is that kind of what you're implying, Tim, for real? The sheriff? The sheriff's afraid of the CPS? Is that there's no hope if that's the case. You telling me that?
I mean, they pretty much told me that, you know, there's not anything we're going to do. I played the video on your show where he even admitted to look to their department. Go back to the very organization that kidnapped your kids. We're not doing anything. Do you remember that video, that recording, James?
Yeah, that was a long, long time ago. I may have that recording still somewhere in my files. Hardy, did you have any comment on any of this travesty?
Congressmen, and letting them know the situation and bringing them common sense, realistic solution. This week I went up and I spoke with a representative that has been very outspoken against Illinois DCFS. I sent them some follow-up information, and I am hoping we can get some changes in how they fund child protective services, and that they reallocate funds to prevention services that have nothing to do with investigations, that are just there to support families, not just the parents, but multi-generational families, that gets our community involved. Instead of saying, hey, call the hotline and report so-and-so, you say, hey, here's a number you can call, and you can get them child care, a child with the 14-year-old, and you don't think that's appropriate. Give these reporters some other options, fund it, and like Illinois has not done any allocations of funds to shift towards family first. And there are other states that need to be shifting towards how they allocate their child protective funds and allocate them towards preventive measures up front that are not associated with investigations and taking children. We need to be protecting our families and giving our families the tools to protect themselves.
And we also need to be taking the fight directly to qualified immunity. As I see it, there's absolutely no rules in play for qualified immunity. That gives them complete lawlessness, and that's not okay. That's tyranny.
So let me ask you a question. All laws, contract law. By what authority do they claim? Now, this is somewhat rhetorical, but we're going to try to hash this out. By what authority do they claim that they have the ability to come in and take your children from you out of your home into a foreign location with people that they don't even know? What basis of law do they state that they have? And if they state, where's the contract that you have with them that gives them the right to do that? All law is contract law. If you don't agree to it, they just can't come and take your children from you like this because they don't own your children. Now, if there's crimes being committed, if people are harming their children and committing crimes against their children, then yes, you come and send the police in there to arrest the parents and send them to jail and charge them with a crime. If they're just having problems paying the rent or, the heat's been cut off for a month, that's not enough. That's not a crime. There's no crime being committed. Why are they being treated like criminals? That's what needs to start happening, I think. I think people need to stand up and go, show me the paperwork. Show me the paperwork that gives you the right to take my children. Produce it. Produce it or get the hell out of my house.
Can I just mention one thing, and not to sound rhetoric or anything like that, but back in Wyatt Earp's day, if somebody was to come for your kid, you would have been met with a 6-gun and received lead straight up.
Yeah, you got that, brother. There's no denying that. Folks, if you want to call in and comment on this or if you've been a victim, 563-999-3736. 563-999-3736. Go ahead, Heidi.
I do want to speak on to what authority. I do know what authority that they claim to have, and I do believe that there is some to a need for child protective services in very rare circumstances.
Not in social issues.
But not for poverty-related issues.
No, for crime. And if it's crime, then you have to send the cops in to arrest the parents. I mean,
right.
I'm not trying to get into it with you, but there's no provision, as far as I'm concerned, that they should have a right unless there's a crime being committed, and that's a police matter, in my view. CPS doesn't even need to exist, frankly. I mean, that's my thought. Please, sorry to cut you off, Heidi. I appreciate your view. I just don't share it, but go ahead.
So they get their authority from they base it on the Constitution, allows for the laying of taxes to fund or promote the general welfare. That is the basis of why we can get Social Security taxes to pay for child welfare, because Social Security is paying for child welfare. We say Social Security is broke. Well, that's because we're spending billions of dollars in Social Security money a year taking children largely for poverty-related issues and then supporting adoptive families until those children turn 18, cash stipend. So we need to look on how we're funding it completely to the other way. But that's...
So they can't claim the Constitution allows them to take my rights, my other constitutional rights. They can't say the Constitution here gives me the right to take your constitutional rights back here. I have a right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Also, if my life or my funds or any money for me is taken, my property, I should say, I'm allowed to have due process of law. Before that's done, I'm allowed to call in witnesses for my defense. I'm allowed to put up evidence to prove my innocence. None of that's followed. They claim the Constitution, and then how many times in courts have you heard the judge say, don't bring the Constitution into my court? They can't have it both ways. They're crooks. I don't buy that argument, Heidi. Sorry.
So, I'm just saying why they can fund it, what the legal argument is behind why they can fund it. And then it goes to the states are the ones that are passing laws. And it is our states that we need to be going to and saying, if our laws are truly allowing you to take children for poverty, we need to change our state law. But oftentimes, if you go and look at the state law, it does not give them the statutory authority they think they do.
Of course not.
overstepping their authority on a systematic basis. They Illinois had to take for the Illinois Child Abuse Registry because it came down to they had no statutory authority to even investigate the parents in the first place, but yet they're coming and taking children when they didn't even have the authority to come investigate because there was no law that allowed them to. The law had changed in 1981, and the state just went and wrote policy to do what they wanted to do.
Remember, legal and lawful are two different things, okay? There is no law that gives them a right to come and take your property without due process. If they say that there is, if they make a mandate or if they pass some sort of an ordinance, it's unconstitutional on its face. The whole thing is a fraud. There's nothing they can cite in the Constitution that tells me that I give up my right for due process when they take my property from me. It's completely the whole. You don't have to be a Harvard law professor to know this. This is a complete scam. They don't have show the property. Show me the paperwork that says I'm your property or my children are your property that you can take me. You can't control what you don't own. That's a foundation of law. That's a foundation of law. Who cares what legal documents they put together that usurp the Constitution? It doesn't matter. It's invalid on its face. You guys, sorry. I'm ranting here because I can't stand them. I'm telling you, man. Nothing gets my blood pressure going like talking about these crooks.
This is where they went wrong in my case, James, is the judge. The referees and the judges, they were all, oh, you're noncompliant. You understand your rights. Well, guess what? We're going to teach you a lesson. We're taking your kids now. That was the basis of it because I was non-compliant. I understood what my rights are.
That's why I lost my children because I stood up for my rights. It's right in the paperwork. They don't even.
They even got away with using the N-word in open court against a minor. I mean, it doesn't get any sicker than that.
We need to be speaking with our congressmen and saying that we want a change in how we are allocating child welfare funds, and they need to be going towards prevention services primarily because we shouldn't be taking children for things that we can be giving the parents a voucher to fix.
Precisely.
Why can't a social worker come out with a packet of vouchers that she can give the parent? She can give the parent a bus pass right there at her very first contact. And
yep.
Solve a lot of issues that are transportation related. She can give them a food pantry list and a food card to go to Walmart and pick up food or diapers or whatever that immediate need is.
I found a lot of these circumstances are just a person in need of just a life coach, you know,
yes.
Or some extra funds. They don't need extra classes and extra services and extra bombardment and extra, you're going to do what I told you to do. That's not how it goes.
How different would it be if the Child Protective Services didn't get the government compensation until they reunited the families and repaired the families? Then now they get paid when they break up the families and foster the kids out. That's when they receive their check. So what's the incentive? Seriously, what is the incentive? They've set it up for people to act improperly. They've incentivized the bad behavior with cash. Why don't you just change the funding and say, you get your money when this family gets healed and this mother gets off of her drug problem. You say, well, it'll never happen. It doesn't matter. Don't stop trying. Keep going. You keep trying to take their children over and over again. Why don't you use that same type of effort in keeping the family together? Because they don't want to do that because there's no money in it. Again, the love of money is the root of all evil. These people are evil.
Our congressmen hold those purse strings. They're the ones that can have the power to change it. We need to be contacting our local congressmen and telling them change the funding because that's the root of it. And if you want them to focus on keeping families together, give them the money to do that and not the other.
You know, I can tell my blood pressure's already just went up. I just can't even hardly do these programs because I just want to strangle these people. I mean, I'm just being real with you. I'm just being real with you. The way they're harming kids and destroying families, I just despise them more than anything in my life.
At a mass scale.
Oh, dude. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and roll up this this broadcast here. Anything that either one of you want to say in closing? How can people help? What can people do in their own community? Do you have any? Do you need help with the funding, attorneys? You got all that covered. Anything you want to give out, any websites, anything like that, I'll go ahead and let you guys go ahead and finish out.
United Parents for Children on Facebook. We have state directors in all states. We're trying to implement life coaches for these situations. I'm going to tell every single parent out there, please don't let it get to a devastating point. Reach out to somebody. I hear about too many, as it is, parents giving up as a result of corruption with Child Protective Services. A lot of them I know and some of them I don't. And I'm just going to say this. Reach out to somebody. There's lots of organizations on Facebook. There's lots of groups. There's lots of people. They're all trying to fight for the same thing. Don't be afraid to reach out. A lot of people, the stigma of, you know, I have Child Protective Services involvement. You know what? They weren't kidding when they said it takes a village. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Heidi, any last words you'd like to say?
Does Congressman know that you want funding for preventative services for families, that we want to defund the amount of removals, and that unless it's abuse or severe neglect to the point a child's going to die, services should be in place. And we shouldn't be failing our families. We shouldn't be failing our grandparents. We shouldn't be failing our aunts and uncles by taking these children from everyone. And we should be supporting our communities and our families.
Agreed.
Heidi Hall, well put. We appreciate both of you being on the broadcast with us here today. Keep us updated on this. If you find that more information, you know how to get in touch with me. Thanks again, both of you, Tim Daniels and Heidi Hall, for being here. Keep up the fight.
Thank you, James. I appreciate you more than you'll ever know, buddy.
You know, I appreciate you, man. I'm just a goofy radio host. You're the one out there actually in the field, on the ground, you know, fighting the battle. So appreciate that, man. All right, everybody, this is we're just at the end of the broadcast. Thanks so much for joining us here. I'm James White for Northwest Sobriety News. And we'll see you next time. See you guys. Thanks.